Welcome back to the Ink Sink. I am Annie. This is the publishing podcast for the rest of us. Kaylee is not here right now, but you are going to hear her in this recording in just a second. We're doing something a little bit different with this episode. My newsfeed has been absolutely buzzing with talk about AI lately. That's apps like Midjourney and DALL-E and ChatGPT, things where you can enter a prompt and something will spit out a paragraph of text or a page of text that sounds kind of believably like it was written by a person, or you'll put in a prompt and it'll spit out an image that kind of looks pretty much like what you were talking about. In our latest episode, we actually had so many stories on it that it basically turned into its own episode, and that's what I want to play for you today. If you're in school right now, you might have seen them, these kind of discussions around this. Schools are developing policies on how, and I guess whether students can use bots to write their homework. I know my university just sent around a multi-page instruction document about how we are and aren't allowed to use these AI text bots. If you work in industries with a lot of low-stakes writing, you might have seen even more conversations about this. I've seen realtors report using it to quickly generate descriptions for listings. If you're a freelance writer, you might be seeing some of your gigs being taken by bots. A lot of companies aren't admitting to it, but a lot of freelance jobs have just kind of been taken off the market. Or you might be getting told that your work isn't original enough to not be mistaken for a bot, which is a discussion for a whole other episode. The bottom line is that people seem to want to use these tools, but they are not perfect. They are bots, after all. They're spitting out stuff that seems right, maybe as you're reading it or maybe on first glance, but it might not actually be factually accurate or a real depiction of something. And the publishing world is trying, its best to adapt here. There have been some wins and some losses and some questions, and that's pretty much what this episode is all about. So let's get into it. Well, moving right into AI, that's probably the biggest story I would say that we've been covering over the past couple months is how AI is affecting publishing from writing to reading to listening to selling, and we're starting to see some of the fallout. This article is a roundup from the Morning Brew. Amazon's independent Kindle publishing division, which is called Kindle Direct, has seen a, quote, flood of ChatGPT-assisted works, and that's the new AI writing tool from OpenAI that's kind of been making all the headlines. Separately, a magazine has reported that its submissions had been flooded also with low-quality articles, which it attributed to ChatGPT, and it's to the point that they actually had to close submissions.
They need an AI to find other AIs. You need to hire a bounty hunter and, fucking snipe the fellow bounty hunters.
That's right. I want a repo man looking at AI articles.
It's already, this is just, we're already in a position where they're getting too many, articles to review. And now here's where we're at. Okay.
Yeah. I have to say, my fact checker spidey sense went off a little bit. Whenever I see the word flood, I always am like, do you mean a lot or do you mean several? So fair. I dug in. It always makes me feel like there's going to be some nuance to it. Usually when you see apocalyptic things like that or big things like that. So I did dig in a little bit to the math, Kaylee. And so in this Reuters article that The Brew is citing, ChatGPT is listed as the author or co-author on about 200 books on Kindle, but it might be more.
Well, they don't have to disclose.
That's right. Yeah. And ChatGPT really started gaining notoriety in around November and December of last year. So conservatively, that's about 4 months. And Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing records about 1.4 million new works with ISBNs every year. Now, it doesn't require you to add an ISBN either. So we're saying by the people who are putting the ISBNs in and also putting the ChatGPT in. So there's a little wiggle room here, but still, these are kind of the numbers I think probably that we're dealing with. Anyway, so that means that ChatGPT is listed at, are you ready? About 0.5% of the books published over the past 4 months.
Again, wiggle room in there. I still wouldn't call this a flood of books. For the articles, I did find a thread on Twitter where this magazine was talking about no longer accepting submissions, but they did not say how they were vetting the AI and saying like, oh, this is AI versus like just low quality submission. So I don't know for sure, obviously.
That's right.
But that does lead us directly into our next article about AI in magazines. This comes to us from Editor and Publisher, which is an industry blog. It's about CNET, which is a technology magazine. It had been using AI to help generate some of its stories and had to stop.
It got a lot of heat.
Well, the AI was publishing bullshit.
Yeah. It should have. I didn't say it was wrong.
Yeah.
It was just, it was, what was the, just in general, following this overall, like, topic. And one of the, like, funniest things was that AI bots were producing, for real authors, fake citations, mm-hmm. so it would sound correct.
Yeah.
I was just like...
And that's basically what happened at CNET, is that it was writing stuff that sounded right, and CNET just wasn't
fact-checking.
This is what happens when you lose your fact-checkers, guys. Yep. It took me all of 30 seconds to disprove Reuters' flood claims on Amazon Kindle Direct. It could have taken CNET a fact checker literally 30 seconds to be like, did this person say this thing? No? Okay, we need to take this quote out.
Critical thinking is not hard, guys. It really
I'm isn't. Not even a professional fact checker anymore. That was years ago.
Is this a thing?
Is this real? No? Okay. Anyway, so we're laughing a little bit at CNET, but it was technically a pilot program. They were just trying it out to see what kind of stuff they could use the AI-generated articles for, and it turns out, not much. But one of the big things that we've been seeing from writers out there is that they've been kind of nervous about AI taking their jobs, and it sounds like we're a long way for that, for at least hard news. And I make the distinction for hard news, because our next story, Kaylee.
Oh, BuzzFeed.
The laugh, I'm sorry.
Nope, that's fair.
I think at this point, this podcast is just chronicling the fall of BuzzFeed.
It's so sad because, like, it had such deep roots, such good potential, and then...
Why don't you tell us what's going on with BuzzFeed, Kaylee? So what have they decided to do?
So, in the discussion on how to respond to AI in journalism, BuzzFeed went, hell yeah, and did a keg stand. So not only did they say, yes, we do, they're saying we're gonna go twice as hard next quarter, basically. I will say, that being said, a lot of their articles and their thing are their field pieces, opinion pieces, think pieces. They're not like actual factual reporting.
Yeah, so I noted that in my notes that, like, CNET stopped because the AI was basically spewing bullshit, and then BuzzFeed doubled down because they're like, bullshit,
that's
we're in.
That's what we do.
For those of you who are new to the podcast, we've been covering what's going on with BuzzFeed. I feel like since the beginning, we were talking about...
Like, one of the few things that was, like, one of the early things that happened was... Oh, not early.
BuzzFeed
early.
Got bought, yeah, really early on in our podcast, yeah.
Yeah.
They have a new corporate overlord, basically, and that corporate overlord cut BuzzFeed Investigations, which was doing incredible work. Their investigative reporters were, I mean, killing it. They were going deep. We were talking about, like, we went and just looked at their final investigations and were so impressed and found these things that were both like, oh my God, I'm glad I know this because this is extremely important to know. And now Investigations is gone and they're just leaning into the clickbaity choose your own adventure stuff.
Yeah, which is what they're going to, I mean, I guess if you're going to use AI, that's what you would use it for.
Basically, yeah.
That's the most quote unquote responsible way to...
Sorry.
Use it, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, on the one hand, I'm sure it's helpful for them because that's kind of the direction they've been going, but I don't know, I feel kind of disappointed. I've got this, like, nostalgia of BuzzFeed because when we were young, it was these, like, clickbait, what type of kitten are you quizzes, and then it grew up, it became this investigative juggernaut, and, you know, news was breaking on BuzzFeed. The R. Kelly story broke on BuzzFeed. Initially, no one else wanted to cover it. And BuzzFeed was listening to victims, taking victim statement, like going through, and they had that deep dive on nursing homes and how horrible things were.
All of the issues, the abuse. Yeah.
BuzzFeed became a news juggernaut. And then
really boosted the perception in general and moved BuzzFeed into the limelight.
Yeah. And then and then no more. And I feel like I've got a lot of complicated feelings about this, clearly. But I've been having, like, you know, man, I felt like we were growing up together with BuzzFeed. And now it's kind of regressing, and I'm having it's like feelings
our
about
it's
it.
It's like trying to talk to your parents about why they're not allowed to say certain things.
I guess, yeah, that's probably a good. But like, I just feel like I feel like I'm watching the slow kind of passing of a news juggernaut, and I'm kind of sad about it. I probably shouldn't have gotten emotionally attached to like BuzzFeed.
The young hero that turns to crime.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
But I mean, whatever. So one of the things that they're going for is AI-generated quizzes, AI-generated fanfic, some trope fix in there. So they're kind of double down on
basically,
this whole thing.
It is a choose-your-own-adventure, like, news article.
They're yeah, exactly.
Like, what's the thing that, like, what's your cute little flaw? So, and it'll just generate something for you.
What's my cute little flaw? Sadness.
I hate AI.
Depression.
Right.
Fix me.
Fix me, BuzzFeed AI.
Oh. Keeping with the AI theme, though, I did want to add in, like, a slightly more serious note in here, since
we're
AI
too
is
much
genuinely.
Of AI, by the way. Yeah. Just keep that. I'm sorry. Period. Continue.
I did want to add in a little bit more of a take from the publishing industry news side. So one of the main things we've been kind of talking about, or one of the main things that a lot of people, when they hear about all these AI advancements, think is like, oh, well, is this just going to make spell checker better? Because right now it kind of sucks. Like, will Grammarly or Perfectit, which are, you know, kind of souped up spell checkers, is that going to make editors obsolete? Is that going to, you know, be fine now? And I think that's a lot of, like, you know, your average human who doesn't really care about, you know, news or hasn't been emotionally affected by the death of BuzzFeed. they're thinking of things like that, you know? And so digging into that, What's New in Publishing, which is another publishing industry magazine, ran this article from Bo Sachs, who is a publishing executive. And he's actually super worried about that. He's talking about, you know, the potential of AI for his industry as editing. And, you know, he sees a lot of potential for recommendation algorithms and some, like, personalized wording and things like that. But for editing overall, he's a little bit worried about understandability and accessibility for people, because that's what a lot of editors do. We're not just, you know, fixing typos or reformatting, or we're also reformatting things to be accessible, or adding things in for people who, you know, haven't been following the story, adding in context that an AI can't really give you.
And like, and it's so unfortunate. Like, it's just an ongoing issue where people that aren't necessarily as deeply entwined in an industry that then are in a position or put onto the platform to make decisions that impact the entire industry. So frustrating.
Yeah. And again, this is all theoretical, but I can absolutely see what he's talking about. He's very plugged in, clearly. So we're going to see what's going to happen. You know, we're kind of joking about choose your own adventure. What kind of kitten are you articles? But, you know, moving forward, we genuinely don't know what these impacts will be. You know, a while ago, people were like, oh, why would I ever want a tablet? You know, what do I need that's between a phone and a computer? And now tablets are everywhere. Like, we're, it turns out, not very good at predicting the effects or reach of technology. So we'll see where it goes. And
should be interesting. Like, it's going to be more efficient and you can do fact checking. And sure, some of those pieces can be, you know, delegated out, but you can't, like, that doesn't lessen the impact in the job that these people are actually doing. I'm just concerned myself. So mm-hmm. I super understand and support that thought, because, like, back in, like, whatever, what was it, the 20s, 30s, 40s, when they were looking at, like, automation was going to come and it's going to reduce the work week. We're going to have to work less. No, capitalists suck. I'm not a socialist, but I don't know what the hell I am. But, like, it's fair that people used to think that we would be able to work less and still earn a fucking living with automation and industry, and we don't. They just want us to work more and die young so we don't drain the national coffers.
Sorry. Did you see that article about that person who was just like, we worried about egg prices, just stop eating breakfast?
Oh. Just don't eat.
Just don't eat. Why are you eating?
Eating is, you're so selfish.
Stop it, you weird millennials and your obsession with survival.
Living.
Annie from the future here again. That episode was recorded in late February, and since we recorded it, the BuzzFeed situation has gotten, sadder. BuzzFeed announced that it would be shutting down its news division as of April 2023. And this isn't, to be clear, there was a little bit of confusion I saw on some of the comments. This isn't BuzzFeed shutting down. You know, like the tasty videos, they're going to be fine. Like those roundups, the top tens, those are fine. But the hard news and the investigations teams, they're totally gone now. And, you know, BuzzFeed News won a Pulitzer at some point, so it's not like we can pretend that this was not a good news organization. It kind of feels like the end of an era. We're seeing rumors also that other news sites like Vox and Vice Media are struggling. I believe I saw this morning that Vice had to shut down one of its news divisions as well. And this is not probably all because of AI writing bots, probably, but it's clear to me, at least, that the digital landscape, I guess we could say, is changing, and AI is definitely a part of that. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen next, honestly. I've always said that that would be the best superpower, right? Like, you know, forget invisibility, like, tell me the future. I guess, you know, telekinesis would be pretty cool, too. Okay, all right, everybody write in. What would be the coolest superpower and why? We'll have, like, a contest. I don't know what we would make for the winner, but, you know, that would be really cool. Anyway, side note, if anyone ever tells you that they know where things are headed, don't believe them. They are trying to sell you something. That's our show this week. Thank you so much for listening. You can support the show through Spotify, Substack, or through our tip jar. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or Pinterest. And you can find the links to all of those in the link tree in the episode description. You can also find all of the sources for this episode in there as well. Thank you, Abby. We'll see you next time.